You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Monday, January 27th, 2014. Happy New Year. I haven't done one of these in a while, as you know if you're a regular listener. But one of my many Legion New Year's resolutions is to actually do this podcast every 2 weeks, because I think I need it. If I'm going to get the rest of Opus 25 actually playable and happening and out there in the world, I need these little, you know, short-term goals that playing for you provides very nicely. So I've got it scheduled in. Every other Monday should be a new podcast. That's going to be happening. So today's going to be mostly talking. I'll play for you a little bit. I actually want to talk a little bit, even though I sort of promised I wouldn't do this a lot, but I don't do this a lot. So I want to talk a little bit about my kid. You know that baby voice you hear at the beginning and end of the little intro, outro? So he's 3.5, and for Christmas, we got him a full-size drum set, which seems like a crazy idea. But actually, it has lowered the volume in our household tremendously, because we got it. We got the practice pads for the drum set. And so now, instead of him, you know, whamming away on pots and pans and oatmeal boxes that are incredibly loud, now he's actually playing on a drum set and it's quieter. So a couple of things have happened about that. One is that now my piano room at home is no longer the piano room. It's the music room, because it also has this drum set in it. Another thing is that somehow, mysteriously, there have appeared little bites in the edges of my keyboard. You know when you see really old, beat-up pianos and they've got chips? So there's a bunch of chips in my keys that I am reasonably certain are the result of a small child with drumsticks. He said he didn't do it. It may have been one of his friends. And I'm kind of actually proud of myself for not being super traumatized about that. It was when I discovered that suddenly my piano had these little bites out of it. It was like a half a second of it being like a horror movie, you know, when you just suddenly everything is so wrong. And then I was pretty well able to go, okay, I have a 3.5-year-old. This is a piano that needs to be restored anyway. So now one of the things that we will restore additionally is going to be the keytops. And it reinforces my decision, which honestly was based largely on inertia, but it reinforces my decision not to have it restored yet, you know, because there are a few little buzzes and things, but they're not driving me crazy. And so I'm not going to do the full on, you know, send it back to the factory and really, really, really have it redone. I think for a couple of years, I am going to have those keytops replaced so that they don't hurt me as I'm playing. Anyway, that's one thing that happened, but that actually wasn't what I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to talk to you about learning about music from my kid, which it sort of never crossed my mind that I would, at least not at this age. I certainly learn about music from my students, and I think I'm appropriately humble about that, but it didn't really cross my mind that I would learn about music from my kid. But he can swing. Like, he actually can play a drum beat and keep a beat and is a fun musician to play with. And so I've been playing a lot of just, like, goofy little blues patterns, like... So you can hear that I sort of stumble and I have to think about it a little bit. I'm going to have to get better at that. First of all, he's gotten bored with that already. So he says, no, don't play that. Play a different song. But I think I'm going to have to actually get better at some of my sort of rock and pop chops than I have been, because I have this other musician living in my house who likes to play with me, who has so much less than no interest in having me play the Chopin etudes. Anytime I try to play any lick from Chopin, he's like, no, don't play that. So that's just kind of interesting and kind of fun. And so I've been actually doing a lot of playing just for fun and trying to figure stuff out with him. And you know, it's really fun to play music with another human being, but one who doesn't yet have any of the vocabulary. So, for example, he very clearly is trying to think about what songs he wants to do. We call them songs, but they're just pieces, of course. The iTunes nomenclature is ruining us all. But, you know, he doesn't have any, he doesn't know how to say the one in F or the one that's the blues, although he does call that actually Shaking the Blues. So he has really clear ideas about what he wants, but he has literally no way of telling me what he wants to hear me play. So I'll start playing something and I'll say, no, not that. And then I'll play something else and he'll say, yes, that. And I don't know how to find. Anyway, it's just, it's very interesting. I feel like I'm, I don't know. It just sort of makes me think about how did we get to the notation system that we have and how do we get to learning how to play and what is his learning process going to be like? And it's just been quite a bit of fun. So I just thought I'd report on that to you. So in addition to playing lots of fun, goofy little improv with my kid, I also had strep and then another mysterious, annoying bug afterwards. So I've been under the weather for a couple of weeks. So you might be able to hear it in my voice a little bit. So that's annoying. It's getting better. I hope that I'm not going to be sick all spring like I was last year. But the point is, I haven't had like super solid lots and lots and lots of practice time the way I envisioned over the break. I thought that I was going to have these wonderful swaths of time to practice, these full days where I would practice in the morning and then take a break and then practice in the afternoon. Yeah, that didn't happen. So where I am is I'm letting all of Opus 10 and the first six of Opus 25, I'm just letting them rest. I'm just not even reading them, not playing them, not thinking about them as much as possible. And I've been actually kind of focusing on the Winter Wind Etude in my Chopin practice. And before I get to that, I want to tell you about the other practice I've been doing, which is that I'm preparing for a violin recital I'm going to do with a colleague who teaches at a college a couple of hours away. And the thing that's really fun about this is that this is a colleague whom I haven't seen for 12 years and haven't played with for 13. And he's 10 years younger than me and started out actually as a student. He was a freshman in my oral skills class when I was a TA while I was working on my doctorate. And then I accompanied him a couple of years later. So we went then from being students to colleagues and friends and then have not really been in touch except on Facebook. But then he got this job a couple hours up the road. So we had our first rehearsal on Friday, and it was so much fun. It was so nice to just kind of fall right back into the patterns, and we listened to each other. He's really, really clear, and we both use lots of ridiculous language about the pieces, and I'm really, really excited to be playing with him. And the other thing that's really exciting about it is that it's all music, exciting, daunting, take your pick. It's all music that I've never played before, so there's a piece by Schumann, Robert Schumann, who was, of course, one of Chopin's cronies. And it's really fun to learn that piece with so much of the Chopin either under my belt or sort of on its way under my belt. There are a lot of things that I sort of look at and it feels kind of like coming home because I know the style is just, it's not that the style is exactly similar to Chopin, but just that it sort of calls for a lot of the same ideas. So just to play you like the very beginning. The violin goes. I'm going to sing this horribly for you, so just bear with me. But I want you to hear how the piano works, and it's kind of more interesting if you hear the violin part. So it goes. Da, oh my gosh. Da, 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 da. And then I'm not going to sing anymore the violin part, but listen to what the piano part does here. That was not particularly great playing that I just did then, but I don't know if you can hear that this is a line here, and I feel like because I've been doing so many pieces that do that kind of thing in the Chopin, I feel like I have a better sense of how to approach working on this piece, and I haven't worked on it a lot yet. And that's really cool because that was part of the whole point of learning the Chopin Etudes, right? Like the point of learning, aside from them being gorgeous and fantastic to play and all that, but that the thing about sort of being on the other side of learning them is that they're supposed to make everything else easier for me to play. And I definitely feel like I see that happening with this piece, which is nice. that's I think that getting this piece, especially the Schumann, up to performance level is going to be much, much easier than it would have been had I worked on it, say, 5 years ago. Same is true for the Elgar Sonata, also a piece that I didn't know. I've heard the Schumann. I had never heard the Elgar. We're also doing a Janáček Sonata, which is gorgeous. So beautiful. But I have to say that the dude can't spell, and that can be really frustrating. Like, there's a place here where he has a chord that's spelled E double flat, G major, that's the real insult to injury one, C flat, and A double flat. Don't worry if you don't know what those mean, but basically it should just be G major, so it should be D, G, B, and G. They're all white notes, you know, it's this. But he just writes it as though he's trying to make you not understand what it is. So I've been writing in a lot of little pop symbols, like this is a G major chord, that kind of thing. So that's a piece that I feel less confident about. Oh, I know exactly how to work on this because I'm still kind of struggling to get it off the page. But I think it's going to be really, really beautiful. And this week is Janáček week, as well as Elgar week. The Elgar Sonata is another piece that we're doing, which I think is going to be really nice. So it's exciting to be playing this beautiful chamber music with an old friend and colleague, and that's neat. I feel lucky that I get to do that. Okay, so meanwhile, Chopin. I am going to play the Winter Wind Etude for you from memory. It's going to be under tempo, and I guarantee you there's going to be some screamers, some howlers. But I have started playing through it from memory. There still are holes. You'll hear that. But it's starting to coalesce, and it's starting to shrink. This is one that is 8 pages long, and so from the very beginning of working on these etudes, most of them are, well, there's a lot of them that are 4 pages, but there are several that are 3, a couple that are 2, some that are 5 or 6, but 8 is really, that's a lot of pages for what this is. So I'm going to try and play this for you and see if I can do it. Let's see if I can do it. Oh, you know what? I haven't learned the first of the opening at all. Like, I just haven't ever been playing it. I'm going to make it up. Right. I mean, it's the right harmonies, but I think the voicing was a little lamer than what he wrote. Anyway, I'm going to shut up from this point on. I'm just going to play until I get to the end. Thank you. that's wrong. No. No. Ugh, that was terrible. Oh my gosh. So if I were not committed to not editing my playing and to allowing myself to be vulnerable, which is part of the purpose of this podcast, I would totally, totally not put that out in the world. Wow. Okay. So that went how that went. I don't know if you heard, but my office phone rang during that. I didn't realize I still had the ringer on, so I got completely distracted. And I think you can hear that there are really clear seams where I don't know where I'm going, the very clear turning points. And I actually know where those are, and I have little pink post-it note tabs in my music, but I haven't gotten my theory map totally down yet. The funny thing is that the left hand is, I think, really crucial about where one thing goes to the next, like the overall map of getting from the beginning of the piece to the end. But of course, the right hand is the one that gets tangled, and the right hand is the one where if a mistake is going to happen and if it's going to get hairy and awful, it's going to be there. Not to mention little things like, you know, including dynamics, which might be nice at some point. Anyway, I'm going to play that for you again, maybe in a couple of weeks, although I'm going to be a little bit violin rep specific over the next couple of weeks, but I'm going to play that for you from memory again soon. Much more solidly and much less humiliatingly. Well, everyone's got to start somewhere. Okay, so even though that was as it was, I do feel like I'm starting to have a sense of the piece as a whole inside my head, and that's a really important milestone point. So I need to remember that that is there and not only beat myself up about not playing it fantastically yet. I will play it much better. I absolutely will. Okay, so there's that one. I honestly haven't practiced any other Chopin etudes for like 4 days, but my main kind of thing that I'm trying to do is to get the octaves one. So I actually have a list of groups of measures, usually about 4 measures, but it just kind of depends. And I have checklists about which dates I practice it up to tempo. And like I said, I haven't done it for about 4 days. But so the idea is to do just little teeny groups of things with a metronome. I won't turn my metronome on right now, but like. With the idea of eventually being able to do. Blech. Can't quite do it yet. So working on that. I also, believe it or not, am doing a page at a time of. Yuck. Whoa! Like that. Again, haven't done that for about 4 days. I've been just kind of crashing through and enjoying feeling it coming together. Those are kind of the two that I think I need to really get under my belt. I've been playing through some of the new 3 ones. You know this one. practicing, and I've just been playing it kind of a little bit. So what I'm trying to do, and what I will do once I'm sort of healthy and actually practicing all the time I should be practicing instead of spending some of that time sleeping, which honestly I've been doing, is trying to do a few measures at a time of Chopin in between learning this big violin program. So if I can do like a really solid half hour on, say, the last movement of the Elgar, and then do 10 minutes of Chopin. I think that's going to be a really good way of working. Or even do, you know, work really hard on a page and then of, say, Schumann, and then maybe do 3 measures of Chopin. If I can be organized about that, I think that's going to be a really good way to practice. So that is mostly what's going on. I am resisting the urge to apologize to you for listening to The Winter Wind, and I may have actually apologized. I am resisting. Thank you so much for being my practice buddy. I know I usually don't close with that, but I just felt like saying it. I've heard from a few of you saying I'm one of the few who listen, and I very much appreciate it. So, you can find out more about this project at playitagainswig.com. It's available on iTunes and Stitcher. And you can find out more about me at JocelynSwigger.com. And you can follow me on Twitter if you feel like it. And you can like my Facebook page, which would be great. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.